This is Guardian Radio, your station for up-to-the-minute news, intelligent, interactive, and engaging conversation. 96.9 FM. The views and opinions of the hosts and guests are their own and do not necessarily reflect the position of the management and staff of Guardian Network.
The aftermath of every social revolution brings about change. Cultural norms and landmarks shift as our minds and hearts expand beyond the familiar. To everything, there is a season and a time to every purpose in the land of the living. This is our time to renew, revive, and restore the hope lost to the busyness of life. This is our time to dig again and rebuild from the storms of our past on a solid footing that holds. Welcome to The Foundation.
The Foundation. Foundation.
The Heart Grant is brought to you by Burger King, Commonwealth Bank, the Deposit Insurance Corporation, the Digital Transformation Unit, the Jeff Rogers Basketball Camp, CLIC, the Ministry of Agriculture and Marine Resources, Rev Bahamas, Ron's Electric Motors, and Wendy's.
Foundation. The Foundation.
It's the foundation that's rocking the nation. Howard Grant's the host, Guardian Radio Station. 96.9, 12 to 2 is the time. You can call the show or use the text line. Yeah, he educates, he informs. He goes against the norm. He's really got that zeal. Plus, he's a child of God.
Foundation. It's the foundation. Foundation. So it's the foundation. Foundation.
Good afternoon, ladies and gentlemen. 96.9 FM radio. Howard Grant in your company, The Foundation, on this beautiful Tuesday afternoon. I'm sorry, it's Wednesday. I'm out here wilding. Forgive me. It is Wednesday, a hump day. Excited. I know you guys are excited for that holiday. It's going to be coming up on Monday. So I know that you're geared up and kind of getting everything. I'm seeing CA and Aaron talk about who got clothing and who got this, who got that. You know, I hope you guys are ready. You know what I mean? Get your clothes together. I'm going to be out here wearing my, I'm sure it's four seasons ago, right? I'm sure it's like three, four seasons ago. But one thing's going to remain consistent. It's going to be the colors. Come talk to me. It's going to be the colors. And so, guys, I hope that you're getting yourself prepared, geared up, and doing all that you can, all that's necessary as it relates to being able to prepare yourself for this 50th anniversary, man. It's a jubilee. It's a golden year. It's our golden anniversary. And I want to be able to say to you, without getting mad spiritual, I can be able to feel some things on the horizon. I can see some stuff. I'm excited about this shift. And I'm grateful to be able to contribute to this conversation for growth and development nationally. It's a beautiful day, guys. Make sure you pick up your newspapers. It's great supplements in there for all you persons out there who keep things for his keepsakes. The Guardian has a Tourism 50th Independent Special Edition kind of tucked away in there. So you can be able to pick that up. It's the Nassau Guardian. You can be able to pick it up at any one of the newsstands or, you know, your favorite spot to be able to do that. Or your persons who can bring it to you. Make sure you get everything kind of laid out to do that. And while you're talking about that, I just want to be able to read this in the spirit of decency and order and kind of tell you about what the Independent Secretariat have laid out for you, right? So let's see if we can read a few things. It says, on Monday, July 10th, the Commonwealth of the Bahamas is turning 50 years old. The National Independent Secretariat invited the entire Bahamas, including Howard, the entire Bahamas and guests from around the world to join in the celebrations on July 7th, the National Pride Day, and the Independence Gala. July 8th is the Golden Soiree. It's a party like it's 1973. I really don't know how to party like that. I'm extremely interested. Party like it's 1973. On July 9th, all roads lead to Clifford Park. right? Make sure you get all that information in there. For the Golden Jubilee, an ecumenical service, military tattoo and cultural show. Vendors, they open at 4 p.m. and the show begins at 5 p.m. After the fireworks at midnight, head downtown to Bay Street for the start of the People's Rush Junkanoo Parade, beginning at 2 p.m. Then it's back to Clifford Park on July 10th for Family Fun Day. Vendors open at 3 and the cultural show starts at 5 p.m. For more information on these and other Golden Jubilee events, please visit www.celebrate-bahamas.com or visit Celebrate Bahamas on Facebook, Instagram, and TikTok. These guys got a great deal of things laid out for you guys in terms of preparation. I saw you were on the National Parade, the Float Parade. We're doing a great deal. And I'm hoping that in one way or another that you're participating and being able to make these things happen. Well, guys, I want to thank you so very kindly for being able to tune in with us today. It's a beautiful day. It's a beautiful show. I made a commitment to you, and I'm grateful to my guests and to God himself for affording me an opportunity to be able to do this. I feel privileged. I mean, for the caliber of guests that continue to be able to join me and reach out to me and sit with me, for me to be able to kind of etch these things at the time in history. Now, I know that we've heard from a great deal of these persons over the years, but I think that this time, this season, talk to me, that we are in right now, we can be able to speak to more than just the facts and the figures, but being able to identify the sentiment, the feeling that was invoked during this particular time. Yesterday, I thought it was a wonderful conversation. Guys, go back and check it out, guardiantalkradio.com. GuardianTalkRadio.com, you can be able to see that great conversation that we have. Well, check it out on Spotify with none other than Mr. Rawson McDonald. He has given us such an account for this series that we're having all about Unicall and Unicom. Now, I think it's been leading up to this. Leading up to this conversation right here. And I'm grateful for the opportunity to be able to sit with him. He is, I want to say, world-renowned. And more specifically, he glows throughout the length and breadth of the country. He's done a great deal. And this journey began in the 60s, right, for us, in terms of identification of a passion, a desire to articulation, posture, this focus, and an aim, a push for the objective of national growth and development. We saw this pop up in the 60s. At the front of an organization, in the newspaper in 1967, you can be able to see the Guardian newspaper has information as it relates to a young Franklin Wilson who has this desire to be able to pull like minds together and have a conversation about national growth and development, the course forward, being able to invoke this spirit, this idea. Now, one of the things that I've done, and you know, on the break yesterday, speaking with Mr. McDonald, I thought it was necessary to kind of reiterate today. And I said, you ever had an argument with someone, right? And, you know, as a result of the argument, there's distance and you don't remember the argument over the course of time. You just don't remember what we argued for. But you could remember how this made you feel. I think that that's sort of the concept that I want to capture here. Maybe we aren't able to identify specifically every minute detail as it relates to what happened in 1973, even the course before that. But we do remember. Our brothers and sisters that are still with us, conscious and able to articulate and tap into that memory, that nostalgic memory, we do remember how it made us feel as a people. The introduction and concept and idea of liberation, independence, access, and opportunity. The possibility of being able to realize your dreams. Ladies and gentlemen, I want to introduce you to none other than Sir Franklin Wilson. Sir Wilson, my brother, I thank you so very kindly for taking the time to speak with me today. How are you doing today?
God is good.
Praise God. My brother, it is a wonderful thing, and I want to say to you, I really do appreciate you sitting with me. Say good afternoon to the Bahamian people.
Good afternoon. It's a privilege and a pleasure to be on your show and through your show to speak to the much wider audience.
Thank you, my brother. I do appreciate it. Yesterday, we had a great opportunity. Over the course of time, you and I spoke, and I want to thank you so much for your time. I know that you're extremely busy. But you and I spoke, and you kept pointing me to former Prime Minister Perry Christie. And in sitting and speaking with former Prime Minister Perry Christie, he pointed me in the direction of a person by the name of Rawson McDonald. Mr. McDonald and I had a tremendous conversation yesterday. I thought it was one of the best I think I've ever had on radio over the course of time. I was fully immersed in that conversation to talk about the concept of national growth and development. I want to ask you, at the onset, 1967 comes around. You're off in university, you're coming back. Tell us about that time and what it did for you during that particular season.
Well, let me say that I went to university in 1964.
Mm-hmm.
I went to a university called Dalhousie University in Halifax, Nova Scotia.
Mm-hmm.
And at that university was a Bahamian named Anthony Thompson. He just passed away very recently, and may his soul rest in peace. Anthony graduated from Dalhousie University in 1965 and came back to the Bahamas with an honors degree in commerce. And he had the distinction of being the first one to receive that honor because the program was just introduced that year.
Mm-hmm.
He came back to the Bahamas with a desire to be a chartered accountant. Not one accounting firm would offer him a job. Not one offered him a job. I graduated from Dalhousie in 1968 with the same honors degree that Mr. Thompson did. When I came back, every accounting firm offered me a job. Everyone.
Mm-hmm.
Mr. Thompson came back in 65. No one offered him a job.
And 3 years later.
And so to me, I tell that story because in my view, it is concrete, clear evidence that majority rule day really made a difference in the Commonwealth of the Bahamas.
Mm. You know, what's an amazing thing for me is that in those 3 years, a great deal of things have happened. Now, 1 year before you actually officially was done, you graduated, came back in 1968 and in pursuit of an actual job, occupation to start your life off. 67, you still had this kind of a passion, this idea that there needed to be something more. How do we get persons involved? And you formed, like you said, it was the brainchild of Perry Christie, but you formally administered this sort of a construction and identified with your brother an organization called Unicall. Tell us about that, how that came about.
Well, what happened was, like I said, in the summer of 1965, or just prior to the summer of 65, in those days, of course, there was no internet and telephone calls were very expensive and so on and so forth. So I received a letter from Perry Christie and Bernard Nottage, both of whom were school or university in the UK at the time. And the fact of the matter is they had this idea. And in a nutshell, what it was is, look, guys and ladies, we were off in university, whether it was Canada, the UK, UWI. At the time, not that many Bahamians went to university in the States.
Mm-hmm.
Interesting. That's a significant difference from what happens today. So, but we were all over the world in universities and so on and so forth. And Perry Christie came up with this idea of, guys, look, man, when we're home this summer, we can't just have parties and play and stuff like that.
Mm-hmm.
We should do something. We should make sure we have an opportunity to interact and get to know each other better and exchange ideas and so on and so forth. And so that is what led to the formation of this thing called Unicall. And Unicall was a group that was formed intended particularly for university college students,
mm-hmm.
Interacting and so on and so forth. That's all we thought. Well, once we started doing that, I mean, that thing in the summer of 65, just, I mean, it just became a, it was like the society was yearning for it, mm-hmm. longing for it.
Mm-hmm.
And so it's just young people, you know, just flocked to it. We met at our general meetings in the auditorium, what is now the Kevin Bethel building at the University of the Bahamas. At that time, that was a part of the Government High School campus. So we knew it at that point as the Government High School Auditorium. And those meetings that summer were just, I mean, it was the country had never seen anything like it. Because, of course, this was the first time that such a large number of persons who were off in university were home, and they were interacting and so on and so forth. And a lot of chemistry was being stirred.
How did you get the information out? How do you solicit and
well,
really promote
that's
the concept?
A very good question. Because at that days, like I say, it's not like there was no internet and so on and so forth.
And phone calls were expensive.
Yeah, and phone calls were expensive internationally and so on and so forth. Well, but, you know, the fact of the matter is friends got friend, you write, you call, you spread the word as best we could. I need to reflect even more on that, how we got the word out. I'm not even totally sure, but I could tell you by the time we had the second meeting at Government High School, I mean, the room is full of people and so on and so forth. So we had these events down there, such that when it came time for people to go back to university, it turns out that people like Rosin McDonald, who was on your show yesterday,
mm-hmm.
and his late brother Madison McDonald and others decided, man, we can't just let this thing die. I mean, mm-hmm. we should continue.
Mm-hmm.
So it didn't stop. They kept it going while we were away.
Mm-hmm.
And so by the time 66 or thereabouts came about, when you know, there was this infusion of students coming back, by the time we started saying, well, we got to change the name of this thing because this is no longer just university and college students. So that's how it changed its name from UniCall to UniCom, University Community.
Did it have any influence on, there was a regional community that actually had the same name, UniCom. Did it have any affiliation or any concept?
Well, let me put it this way. What happened is UniCall, then UniCom, grew in stature and significance and international relations.
Mm-hmm.
By 1970 or 71, thereabouts. At this point now, UniCom is a really significant pressure group in the community.
Mm-hmm.
So much so that by this time, a number of us, like such as myself, had graduated from university in 1968. And so we're involved in this organization and so on and so forth. And it's generating a lot of attention in the society and so on and so forth. By this time, within UniCom, they developed a sense that, look, man, things in the country are going too slow, that we need independence and so on and so forth. And so UniCom sponsored an event to at Clifford Park where we burned the Union Jack.
Oh.
We burned the Union Jack, and that was to get the attention of political leaders, say the country's going too slow. It's time now to move on, and we got to become independent.
And when was this?
And I have a photograph in my office where the person who happened to be holding the Union Jack that we burnt happened to have been my late brother, Stanley Wilson.
Stanley.
Truth be told, you know, just objectively, candidly, at that time, Sir Lyndon was, of course, the prime minister and so on and so forth, and he was very much in charge and control and all the rest of it. But intellectually, there was a lot of young people, myself included, who saw, became very close to people like A.D. Hanna and others who were seen as being more, even more progressive. Sir Lyndon was sort of seen as, no question, his thinking was very sound, very mature, and so on and so forth. But as the party leader, it became important for him to project this, you know, this sense of being progressive, but not radical, if you could understand the point.
Yes.
Because after all, let's not fool ourselves. At that point in time, black countries becoming independent had this real serious problem about maintaining investor confidence and all that type of stuff.
Mm-hmm.
So Pindling, you know, well, I don't think anyone could deny that Pindling was a very progressive thinker.
Mm-hmm.
The fact is, he had that capacity to measure his words, how he spoke, how he deported himself, and everything else. That he could in the minds of some be seen as conservative.
Mm-hmm.
So, be that as it may, the fact of the matter is, Unicorn by this time. Bear in mind, this is a time where in America there's this thing called the Black Power Movement,
Civil Rights Movement.
All around the world, independence is spreading.
Yeah,
and so on and so forth, and at the time, socialism was very much, this was before the Berlin Wall came down, and Russia was a very major force in geopolitics and so on and so forth.
Mm-hmm.
Cuba had, Castro had become a force on a regional basis.
Mm-hmm.
So there's no doubt that Unicorn attracted the attention of the American embassy. I could tell you that for sure. Where they were, you know, thought that, you know, we might be a group of young people advocating communism and socialism and all that type of stuff. So there did develop within Unicorn sort of like an intellectual division in terms of, do we remain just a pressure group or do we go further and actually form a party and to say, go faster, to, you know, accelerate the pace of change.
Now, I got two questions for you, because I know you're going to be able to spill out and tell me about the concept that came from there. But I got to ask this question. And only in retrospect, as we compare this time to your time, I need to ask this question to you. There is sort of acknowledgement of existence for young people. Like, you're in dead, we could see you. But there isn't great participation as it relates to being able to push a national conversation forward for growth and development, not in this time. But in 67, 65, 66, 67, 68, we're seeing that young persons, including the prime minister at the time, is identified as with the intellectual capacity to be able to invoke real change.
Right.
What was going on during that time?
Well, like I say, you know, there was a sense that change was critical, change was necessary. Within the society, you know, there were the political group that controlled the party was called the United Bahamian Party. The impact of racism and double standards and all those things were real. So the sense that change was necessary became pretty widely held, and of course, after 67, that was clearly a major turning point.
Mm-hmm.
I told you the story of how it changed. It compared how my reality compared to Anthony Thompson,
mm-hmm.
Who would come back to the Bahamas with essentially the same honors degree as I had, but couldn't get a job, but I could get, you know, every job in town. Mm. And the PLP was making it very clear, our policy is Bahamianization, you know, question. And so businesses knew that, look, you know, this is it. I mean, you know, getting work permits became more difficult. The government insisted and mandated that, look, if you want a work permit, you got to show us where you're going to, you're training people to take over. Mm-hmm. So that was the times. Those were the circumstances.
In 67, right, there was a turning point for this organization. Like you said, Unicom eventually became Unicom. Unicom has been identified socially as an organization of young people who have the intellectual capacity, capability, they have the exposure, the experience, and they're on fire, prepared to be able to move the country forward. Now, internally, there was a conversation, right?
Yes.
I recall Sean McQueenie on the stage, as you guys spoke to the paternity idealism conversation, indicating that you would have been approached by the formal organization, the PLP, during this time. Tell me about that.
Yeah, well, what happened was two things of note happened. One was, at the time, I was also a part of a group of young people who were saying that I didn't see myself in political terms. Mm. I saw myself in business terms. Mm-hmm. And I played a role in creating what became known as the Sunshine Boys. Mm-hmm. Now, interestingly, we never called ourselves the Sunshine Boys. White journalists started calling us the Sunshine Boys. Mm. And they started calling us the Sunshine Boys to juxtapose us against the white UEP boys.
Which was the Bay Street Boys.
Which was the Bay Street Boys.
Okay.
And so the fact of the matter is, they start calling us the Sunshine Boys,
and
the name stuck.
Yeah.
well, it so happens that while one day I went to see Carlton Francis, who at the time was the PLP Minister of Finance, and I was accompanied by several of my colleagues who were in the Sunshine Boys, Bismarck Coakley, Bradley Roberts, Julian Maynard, etc. We go to see Mr. Francis to tell him that we had this idea we were going to build a new shopping center. This was before Town Center Mall and Mall at Marathon. Mm-hmm. So we can build the country's first mall, a full mall. And we were going to make it air-conditioned and so on and so forth. And we had paid the deposit on the land, which was situated on the East-West Highway, a place that eventually became the Racket Club. If people who are old enough would know, there was a place on East-West Highway which became the venue for the Racket Club. Well, at the time, the Racket Club wasn't there. We had put a down payment on this property, and we were going to buy it, and we were going to build a shopping mall. So we went to see Carlton Francis to tell him we were doing this, and the Amian investors, and so on and so forth. We thought he would be happy. So he received us. We spoke. And he then told me, he said, he was very polite and so on and so forth. Didn't give us an answer or anything, but he asked me to stay, if I would stay behind personally. He wanted to discuss something with me. So when I stayed behind to see Mr. Francis, and Bradley and Bismarck and those left to wait for me, Mr. Francis told me, he says, Frankie, there are two problems. I say, what are the two problems? What are you talking about? He says, the first problem is you want to build a shopping mall, and you're going to put in there, for example, a food store. And at the time, we wanted the food store to be Bahama Supermarket. Mm-hmm. At the time, that was owned by a foreign company called Winn-Dixie. Mm-hmm. Well, they said, how can we allow a foreign company to own a supermarket over the hill? Mm-hmm. Well, in our way of thinking, we didn't quite associate East-West Highway, the Independence Highway, as over the hill. We sort of saw over the hill sort of like stopping at Wolf Road mm-hmm. or at best Robinson Road.
Mm-hmm.
So he said that you know, he didn't think that the PLP government could agree to that so easily.
Mm.
That was the first problem. The second problem, he said to me, he says, just last night, the leadership of the Progressive Liberal Party had met and decided they would invite me to be a candidate for the party in the then Grandstand constituency. Well, and he said, if you're in politics, do you want to be seen promoting this any foreign company doing business over the hill? And like I said, I didn't quite see, or none of my colleagues quite saw, in you know, saw that issue as an issue.
Was it still like a middle class area?
Sorry?
Was it like a middle class area?
Oh yeah, well, firstly, there were far fewer people who lived there then than live there now.
Okay. Okay.
So to us, this was very much the suburbs. This wasn't, you know, this wasn't the inner city at all.
Okay.
So anyway, the bottom line point is, Mr. Francis said to me that they had come up with this thing. Well, it turns out that forces, global forces, made the idea uneconomic. As I said, we were planning on an air-conditioned shopping center. Mm-hmm. We weren't just going to build a shopping center. This was going to be fully air-conditioned and all that stuff. But what happened was, very shortly after that, there came the first global oil crisis. And electricity rates went sky high.
Mm.
I mean, sky high. People talk today about electricity rates. They went sky high. And it was because of global changes and the Kuwaitis and the people who controlled OPEC and all that started just changed the world by changing oil prices very dramatically and very suddenly. And those changes made it uneconomic for us to do the shopping center in any event.
Mm-hmm.
So the issue that Mr. Francis came up with.
So one was gone. One issue was already off the table. We finished with that.
Yeah.
Now, number two.
Number two was me being being a candidate. Well, I thought about it. I discussed it with several of my colleagues, and we discussed it in Unicom. Some people in Unicom said, man, the PLP too conservative. We got to be more radical. And some says we should form our own party. Well, some did. And so the late John McCartney
and the
Lionel Carey and Fox, a number of these guys, actually came out of Unicom and started the Vanguard Nationalist Socialist Party. And interestingly, in Bahamian politics, that has been the only political party, the Progressive Liberal Party and the Vanguard Nationalist Socialist Party, have been the only two parties in the history of the Bahamas that tells people clearly what they stand for. See, when you say you are PLP, you are progressive and you are liberal, those are philosophical ideas.
Mm-hmm.
Vanguard, nationalist, socialist, party, those are clear philosophical ideas. One of the problems in our country, as far as I'm concerned, is no party, no other party. I mean, United Bahamian Party. What does that mean? That didn't tell you nothing about philosophy.
No.
Free National Movement. That didn't tell you nothing about philosophy.
No.
The National Democratic Alliance. That didn't tell you nothing about philosophy. And so one of the things I encourage all Bahamians to do, all, is to demand that parties, people who want to start political parties, be clear in terms of what they say.
My God.
What they stand for. Even right now, the Free National Movement. What does Free National Movement mean? What does that mean?
What, shouldn't
free,
it be
what do you
wrapped?
Mean, free national movement?
Shouldn't it be
if, at least if they say the free nationalist movement.
Mm-hmm.
See, I understand what nationalists mean. National, just that's just a geographic area. That means the national boundaries of the Bahamas. That's not a political philosophy.
Mm-hmm. But shouldn't it be wrapped in the Constitution in terms of the application and some of the convictions that they stand for? Shouldn't it be wrapped in the Constitution of these organizations?
Yeah, but it got to start with, hey, the fact of the matter is, I say that there's only two parties that ever made it clear in their name.
In their name,
not the country's constitution.
Okay.
In the party's name.
All right.
So my point to you, listener, is today you have this thing called the Coalition of Independence. What the hell is that? That is their number no philosophy. Free National Movement. That says nothing but philosophy. United Bahamian Party. That says nothing but philosophy.
I love this. Mr. Wilson, Sir Wilson, I thank you so kindly. Now, hold on. I got to take this quick commercial break. If you give me 2 seconds, I'll be right back with you. Ladies and gentlemen, 96.9 FM radio. I am so excited. Loving this conversation as we dive deeper into history and some of the ideas and concepts that existed, the spirit that existed during these times. Guys, quick commercial break and be right back after this.
The Foundation.
The Foundation. We'll be back right after this.
My Gateway has marked a major milestone. Over 100,000 registered users worldwide can now enjoy secure access to over 60 government services online. There is much more to come because our digital transformation journey just keeps getting better. What are you waiting for? Sign up at mygateway.gov.bs today. My Gateway, making government work for you.
Guardian Radio and the Foundation are on the move.
Bahamas, this one's for you.
SBT. Small Business Thursdays. Every Thursday, the Foundation with Howard Grant will highlight small businesses throughout the country, far and wide. Your products, services, prices, and personality. We want to hear it all. Get your 30 or 60 second advertisement heard on air at a fraction of the cost. We here at the Foundation understand the times and don't want you to be left behind. With Guardian Radio, you reach your specific demographic and it is unmatched.
We reach daily.
Get your products off the shelf and your services in their hearts. Small Business Thursdays with the Foundation, only on Guardian Radio 96.9 FM. For more information, call 302-2300 or the Help Me Howard line at 827-0111. SBT. Small Business Thursdays. Get your business moving today.
You've tried everything. ASUS with your mother's cousin's sister's auntie and even hiding your money under your mattress. But is your money safe? Your Bahamian dollar deposit in a member bank or credit union is insured up to $50,000. If anything happens, your deposit up to the insured value will be returned to you thanks to Deposit Insurance. Visit Deposit Insurance Corporation at www.dic.bf.
Protection for your money guaranteed with DIC.
Bahamas Games? What was the purpose of the games?
The purpose is twofold. One, to bring Bahamians from throughout the Commonwealth of the Bahamas together through sports. And the second, to find talented athletes throughout the Commonwealth of the Bahamas to be trained and possibly make it to the Olympic level.
When the games is?
This July 7th to the 15th.
For more info, call 322-1029.
This is Guardian Radio 96.9 FM. Fresh news, smart talk, all day.
Foundation. The Foundation. The Foundation.
And we are back, ladies and gentlemen, 96.9 FM radio, Howard Grant in your company, The Foundation, on this beautiful Wednesday afternoon, July 5th, the day after independence of the United States of America. We continue to be able to prepare ourselves in celebration for the 50th Jubilee here in the country. And in preparation for that, if you're just tuning in, I'm speaking other than Sir Franklin Wilson, And I'm really grateful for the historic lesson. As we left off, he started to talk about being able to ensure that you have a concept wrapped and how you can always be able to identify in your name what you stand for. I love that, man. I love that. So, Wilson, I want to ask you a question because I know you have to get out of here at 1 o'clock and I really do appreciate your time with us. But I want to ask you a question that has to do with the contrast of the organization Unicall that, you know, blossomed conviction. It gave way to entrepreneurialism, opportunities, being able to connect in governments. So many things happened within the organization for persons who are really passionate about national growth and development. You yourself did a great deal of things and continue to do great deal of things throughout the length and breadth of the country. I want to ask you about this origin, the inception, that particular point, Unicall, and what it did for the country. I want to know from you whether or not, how do you contrast what Unicall did and how the established men and women within politics genuflected and sort of gave way to Unicall, and compare that to the dispensation that we're living in?
Well, let me say this to you. It ain't that older people genuflected and gave way to Unicall. That's not the truth.
Okay, let me
the
hear
truth
it.
Is, young people got to fight for things.
I like this.
The fact of the matter is, let me give you a story. One of the things that really catapulted Unicall as a group to be taken seriously was in 1965, we wanted to have a debate. There's a bunch of university students that we wanted a debate. We wanted Sir Roland Sir Stafford Sands as the Minister of Finance to debate Lyndon Binning about the economy. Mm-hmm. We invited Stafford Sands to come and Lyndon Binning to come. Pinlin accepted. Stafford Sands refused. Mm-hmm. Well, some people might say, well, you can't have it no more because Stafford Sands say he ain't coming and so on and so forth. We didn't do that. We had the debate anyway. And what we did was we had two chairs, one chair in the front with Pinlin's name on it and one chair with Stafford Sands' name on it, and the chair's empty. Well, let me tell you something. That picture became the picture of the evening. And Stafford Sands, Pinlington, in my humble opinion, he had one of the best nights he ever had as leader of the opposition. Because you have an auditorium full of young people, and the fact that he was there, and Sir Roland was not there, not Sir Roland, Sir Stafford, was not there, painted a picture. What I'm saying to young people like to do things like that. We did it. Mm-hmm. Such that later we invited Mr. Peter Graham, who was the UBP Minister of Labor, to come and debate Mr. Roy Johnson, who at the time was the head of the Trade Union Congress. And Peter Graham came.
He had to show up now.
He came up, and to his credit, I say this for the record, Mr. Peter Graham, I am convinced, he acquitted himself extremely well, and young people, and mm-hmm. they were respectful, they listened. Mm-hmm. Stafford Sands, in our view, he just sent the wrong message, and today, certainly in the minds of a lot of people of my generation, we see someone who was lacking in courage.
Mm-hmm. Do you believe that there is room in this day and time with the advancements, the evolution or de-evolution, however you want to look at it, of this generation as it relates to a mindset for national growth and development?
Absolutely there is. Absolutely. But any young person thinking about a unicorn 2.0 or whatever you want to call it, man, you got to be genuine. You got to be serious. You know, you can't. It goes back to, from my generation of people, a powerful, powerful message came from U.S. President John Kennedy. And it was, ask not what your country can do for you. Mm-hmm. Ask what you can do for your country. Mm-hmm. That spirit, that is the spirit that I hope we end our 50th anniversary of celebration of independence, that we begin the next journey on, that becomes the question. What can I do? Not what the country can do for me.
Mm.
See, if I look very candidly at what is the biggest difference between the Bahamas, one of the bigger differences between the Bahamas of 1973 and the Bahamas of 2023 is there were more people who were, whether they were in lodges, whether they were in service clubs, whatever, wherever they were, people who were willing to give, to do for the country or for the group, as opposed to give me, give me, give me. It's in politics. In politics in 1973, generals in political parties were not paid. Generals brought things to the party. They brought things to the candidate. Today, the candidate got to give money and they got to pay and so on and so forth. They, churches, they're churches who are paying people to do roles which in 73, you did it for the church. You did it for the lodge. You didn't ask for no money. I mean, how are you going to ask the church? You go to church. You're trying to help God. You're trying to do something for the kingdom. You're going to tell the church they got to pay you.
Wow.
To play the organ.
Wow.
Or to do something. How could you do that? That's a major, major shift.
Things
in politics, I ran in 1972. In 1972, the people who in the constituency grandstand, man, they were out there. They were helping me. It wasn't looking for me to give them stuff. I ran again in 1997. The change in this country was a sea change. If you ain't had something to pay and give and talk, this is a major change. And I truly believe, I say to all my sisters and brothers in the Commonwealth of the Bahamas, man, get out of this head, this idea about what the country can do for me. Today, people sitting on boards, the government appointing boards, everyone know how much they paid.
Wow.
In 1973, the boards wasn't paying no money. Today, how much they paying? Everybody will know how much they paying.
Wow.
That's a major shift when you talk about mindset. It's that major shift, in my view, captured in the words of U.S. President John Kennedy. Ask not what your country can do for you. Ask what you can do for your country. I truly believe if that spirit, if that sense is rekindled in our country, if that is rekindled, everyone's going to be better off.
Wow.
Everyone's going to be better off. Because, you see, I end on this note. You know, I heard a preacher say one time about Jesus on the feeding the 5,000. You know, I heard a preacher say that I have come to accept in my view, the miracle Jesus performed that day was that he inspired that if there were 5,000 people there, there was a goodly number of them who had food.
Mm-hmm.
They had things. But they were hiding it. They were hiding it. This mine, I'm sharing. Jesus inspired them to share.
Wow.
And because they shared, it turns out that the truth is they had enough food for everybody and more.
Wow.
If there was the spirit of sharing and caring, that to me is, I've heard a theologian put that forward as that was probably the real miracle.
Wow.
And I don't know whether it's true or not true, but that's the spirit in which I operate.
Wow.
If we have a country where people are more focused on sharing, man, being a part of the group, sharing, as opposed to me, grab me, that me thing is the surest pathway to the country on 100 years being in a worse position than it is today.
Wow.
At 50 years.
Mr. Wilson, Sir Wilson, I want to thank you so very kindly for your time. My brother, I do appreciate it. And I want you to know that we have gotten so much from you in terms of contribution. I pray that the Father continues to be able to bless you and all your organizations and companies and let you know that the seat's always available for you to give us a little bit more of this history. Thank you, my brother. I do appreciate
it. Okay, buddy. Thank you.
Thank you, man. Ladies and gentlemen, 96.9 FM radio, 1 o'clock on the dot, his phone started ringing. Guys, this man is a man of business. We're grateful for that opportunity. Let's take this quick commercial break, get to news, and be right back after this.
Foundation. The foundation. The foundation. The foundation.
We'll be back right after this.
The foundation. The foundation.
With over 25 years in business, nothing says commitment to our people, culture, and service like Rev. And this year is no different. We will continue to elevate your home experience for you to create and share memories for years to come, while keeping you connected to the people and things you love most. Our pledge to provide quality service each year remains true. Rev is made for you.
Tired of banks forcing you to use technology to bank the way they want you to? Your convenience is important. So no matter what your banking needs, Commonwealth Bank's friendly staff are always available in branch for that personal one-on-one service. But when you choose technology, our online and mobile banking app offers you state-of-the-art functionality. The choice is yours. Commonwealth Bank. Bank the way you want.
At Ron's Electric Motors, they repair and rewind all major brands of electric motors, including water pumps, generators, and generators back end, welding machines, electric lifts, air compressors, battery chargers, and more. They're equipped to handle up to 850 kilowatts and rewind up to 450 horsepower motors. They're conveniently located on the corner of Wolf and Clarence Roads and are open weekdays 8 a.m. to 5 p.m., Saturdays till noon. They offer 24 hours emergency assistance. You can reach them at 242-356-0249.
Click is proud to be 50. Click is taking the celebration to Charlotte Street, July 7th, for an All Bohemian Street Party. The Click All Bohemian Street Party will feature a live performance by Visage, a special Bohemian menu from the chefs at the London, Click beer specials all night, and a late night Junkanoo rush out. Click's Junkanoo Street Party, July 7th, starting at 8 p.m. on Charlotte Street, featuring Visage and a Junkanoo rush out. Click, the beer of the Bahamas, reminds you to drink responsibly.
This is Guardian Radio, 96.9 FM, Nassau, Bahamas.
Foundation. Foundation. The foundation. The foundation. The foundation. The foundation. The foundation.
And we are back, ladies and gentlemen, 96.9 FM Radio, Howard Grant and your company, The Foundation, on this beautiful Wednesday afternoon. You know, listen, it is bananas. Can I talk like this? Is it okay? Can we still remain decent and our minds blown? And for those who are indifferent, I already get some texts, right? Let me tell you something. Your indecency is rich, and I pray that it's diluted with grace. Talk to me. I pray that it is diluted with a very clear understanding of nationalism beyond your political sycophant position. I cannot fight. Do not fight me. There are some men and women. I just want to be decent today. And I'm opening up the lines. If you want to be able to call, talk to me, 323-623-2325, 4316-325-4259, anywhere for the family violence, 242-300. 5720, hit me up on the text, 422-4796. I want to be decent as possible when I say this to you. I am going to be 42 years old this year. It's a young fellow. But there are men and women in this country that my grandparents, my parents, have been speaking about their leadership capacity. And sometimes it's on the spectrum. So it's all the way, you know, It's never, you know, a gray area here. It's either they're 100% for it, 100% against it. But nonetheless, there are men and women who have retained a social position of always being identified in a conversation for national growth and development. Sometimes through the lens of political organization, sometimes through the private sector, but nonetheless, it exists. Frankie Wilson, Craig Flowers, Pierre de Pluch, George Smith, who else we had? Talk to me. Neil Ellis. Talk to me. These are men, and forgive me, I try your name. Okay, let's go further. Janet Boswick, Ruby Ann Darling, Mother Pratt. These are men and women that I've spoken with, right? And it's great more. It's a great deal more. Who I continue to be able to desire to have my type of conversation with. I won't talk with them. I do. I don't see them. I do not see these people politics. I have no desire. I don't even care about it. I love to get into the conversation about these things. But my concept of how I engage people is really about the convictions that exist in your heart. You can't shake your convictions. You could give me all the talking points of your politics. You could give me all, these things could be, you could identify these things, you could, they could be regurgitated. So you study it, regurgitate it, just like the 3 R's, read and write and arithmetic. You could regurgitate this. No critical thinking involved, any of these things, but your convictions, you can't shake it. And I always want to be able to sit with men and women that I can be able to identify their convictions for national growth and development. What was going through your mind when you made this decision? What was going through your mind, your spirit? Why did you make this decision? Was it for money? Was it for political clout? Was it for a perceived elevation nationally to be viewed in a particular light? Or was it for a desire to move the country forward? Now, if I'm going to be absolutely honest with you, for the most part, a great deal of men and women who have found themselves blossoming from a political standpoint in the 60s and early 70s, I could say early 70s, and really participated in national growth and development, participated in the conversation, participated in the construction of how society should run from a tangible standpoint, but spoke to the philosophical intangibles of where the country should go. I only find them before, most of them, let me be decent. Most of these people exist and retain that conviction who participated pre-1973. Can I say that? A great deal of persons who have this unyielding, undying, concentrated passion for national growth and development, they found this passion and this position pre-1973. Not all. I can't put everybody. I said, but the most of them. Let's just shoot straight. After 73, with the introduction of independence and being able to access that, things shifted locally, nationally, globally. Things shifted. Simultaneously, we would heard Reverend Thompson talk to us about, he gave me a call. Reverend Thompson, shouts out to you. I hope all is well. Reverend Thompson talked to me about the fact that before 73, because of the limited movement that existed in the over-the-hill community, you knew everyone. You had an obligation and responsibility to attach yourself to family and be viewed in the community through the light of the position and conviction of your father and your mother, your family. But after 73, when you had liberty, access, opportunity to move about the country how you wanted, they start touching things like marijuana. Talk to me. I can't even get no amen. Somebody text me amen. They start touching things like marijuana, softly, slowly introducing this new things. During this time, you would have seen heroin, the introduction of cocaine, drugs, different paraphernalia,
I know y'all used to do Quaaludes. Some of y'all, you need to stop it. Right now, you speak slurred. You're wasting Leonardo DiCaprio coming out of that car in The Wolf of Wall Street. You speak slurred. Huh? On Quaaludes. And so enter drugs, which equated to self-liberalization, liberalization for a great deal of persons. This experiment, like the wildflowers and hippies, to find yourself took many of us away from the foundational conviction for national growth and development, from the faith, from community. I keep looking for that in these conversations. I keep looking to tie in this concept of how the introduction of independence from a nationalistic perspective led to the introduction of self-discovery through experimental drugs, which took many of us off the path of sort of a divine growth and development for the country. Can somebody tell me whether or not you believe? Am I talking foolishness? If I talk in foolishness, hit me up, 323-6232, 325-4316, 325-4259, anywhere from the family of islands, 242-300-5720 or 422-4796. This seems to be like a consistent concept that's linked to these things. The consistency is that there wasn't no TV. You heard him. You heard Mr. McDonald, Ross and McDonald say that to me yesterday. There wasn't no TV. Right? There wasn't no TV. That could also, I suppose, are you saying to me that the TV could be the decline of the booming population that we saw in yesteryear? Are you saying to me that the TV could be the decline of the intellectual capacity and fortitude of our young people? Are you saying to me the TV could be the decline or the desire to be able to move away this sort of a brain drain that we have in the country right now? Are you saying to me that access and opportunity to this conditioned black mirror that we continue to be able to watch is deviating the convictions wrapped in our DNA to do right in this country? I don't know. And I just want to know. Because as we go to the road to 50 and you're geared up and you're getting your clothes and you're round but clothes, superficial, is there enough introspection in our position? Are you talking about the type of things that I'm thinking about? Is it in your spirit, in your mind, the same way it is in mine? Man, listen to me. I wish I had more time with Sir Frankie Wilson. I really did. Because as he started to get into this philosophical approach and concept that exists in these spaces, I want to push back on that. Because a great deal of things are in a name. The preamble of a name could be able to speak to a great deal of things. But your convictions for growth and development should still be in your application, in your constitution, in the convictions that exist in your heart. And that should be more pronounced than your name. That should actually precede your name. My God, I get preachy very quickly. God says he put his word above his name. Why? Because his word means absolutely nothing his name means absolutely nothing if he falls short of his word. He's inconsistent in his word. I like the conversation, man. I do. I like men and women who have had this kind of a life experience, 4 or 5 lifetimes experience, and done a great deal of things in this country, but still have that kind of consciousness, and they're still present. I'm always looking for that. Guys, hit me up, 827-0111, if you're out there and you want to be able to participate in these concepts. Now, listen, there's a couple of things that I want to talk to you about. There's a few things that's going to be happening over the course of the next few months here in the foundation. I am going to Atlanta from August 20th to the 27th, but I'll be in the United States of America from August 20th to September 1st. I'm going to Earn at Your Leisure Invest Fest. Headlining the festival will be Puff Daddy, Sean Diddy Combs. This is a festival that's also included Steve Harvey. Now, this isn't just entertainment. You need to stop. Go up online, check it out, Invest Fest. It's going to be in Atlanta, Georgia, at the Georgia Congress Congress Center. This, for me, and I'm already reaching out to persons to be able to have conversations with the Atlanta Commerce and all the organizations that exist in that particular space, a great deal of the organizations, over that course of time. And it's only to be able to contrast, how did Atlanta become the black mecca of the United States of America after the relentless, almost, you know, people continue to be able to wallow over this concept and idea of the rejection and eradication of Black Wall Street. But here comes Atlanta. And the black bourgeoisie still exists in this space. Now, Dr. Umar Johnson don't like these people. But I am intrigued to identify an arm within the black diaspora that has this level of sophistication and commits to developing their space. I want to know about this. I want to know about how these guys who continue to be able to speak with a sudden twang, this slur, has been able to influence culture throughout America and identified as a template. I want to know about how outcasts, more specifically, can be viewed as one of the greatest groups, hip-hop groups, or the greatest hip-hop group by Billboard, but rejected at the onset. So we're going to be talking evolution. We're going to talk about these concepts. And we're going to talk about this for the purposes of being able to contrast what they have done and look at what we're doing. I mean, that's what my show is going to be about. Then after that, we're going to go to China. We're going to talk about tech. We're going to talk about these particular concepts that exist in there. We are going to be out of here on the move. I'm grateful for that. I'm grateful for the opportunity to be able to participate in this space. Now, we could do this on our podcast, but I'm truly grateful to God for an opportunity to bring this to the entire country as I go. So we're going to be live from Atlanta, live from China, and wherever else we go. We're going to be doing this thing live and in full effect. I cannot do this without you. I cannot do this. I mean, beyond your listening participation, beyond just hearing me out and tuning in and saying, oh, I can't, my boy, how it over there today? My God. Beyond that, I cannot do this without your financial contribution to this. Oh, is this you begging? No, I'm not doing that. There is a relentless conversation that exists within media that says hosts and media personalities are being sold out to the government. That's what y'all say. Hosts and media personalities are being sold out to the government. More specifically, this administration is identifying and absorbing any and everyone who has a modicum, an ounce of influence socially in preparation for what they want to do. I don't fight this administration for their agenda. The other day we talked about this idea associated with what your agenda would be. You talked about what the PLP is doing. And then I asked, well, what is the FNM's agenda? If you could see clearly that the PLP is identifying strength within the media and absorbing it into their fold, for the purposes of ensuring that they could be able to kind of skip into the next general election, what are you doing as the public as our communities to identify and retain these people in spaces that can speak truth to power. Because we are mere men. And bills are real. And so I say this to you. If you want to be able to support Howard Grant and the foundation to retain this level of conviction and this type of conversation with strength and speaking truth to power without fear of victimization and separation from the microphone, hit me up, 827-0111. Was that too much? Is it too much to say? You've never heard it like that before. Your member of parliament is supposed to be committed to you and your constituency. He or she. But their commitment is to a government who provides them opportunity. Because that $28,000 can't do nothing for nobody. Just be very clear. If there is a voice that speaks truth to power and you can see that there is a shifting in a particular direction, it ain't got to be Howard. It could be anyone. It is time that we invest in these things. Over the course of the next few weeks, I'm going to be putting some stuff out there, and I want you guys to participate. I'd like you to. If you want to give me a call and say, Howard, hey, listen, how can I help? 827-0111. Just hit me up with a text. Don't fight me if I don't answer the phone right away. If I might go here, I go pick up a chair and whatnot. 827-0111. It is time for us to get out of the 21x7 and be able to reach the far corners of the world. We don't have to wait to be dubbed ambassadors of the United States of America, of Korea, of France, or wherever else there's aspirations to move. We can just go. Identifying those progressive elements that exist in those societies and introduce it in real time right here on Guardian Radio 96.9. Participate in the thing. Don't fight me, baby. Let's make this happen. 827-0111. I need your sponsorship to take this show from where we are. Or is this, do you just see this as entertainment in your day? I don't know. But I can't just be sitting behind this mic, baby. I got to travel. I got to go and to the world and see exactly what's happening. Participate in the thing, guys. 827-0111. This is Guardian Radio 96.9 FM. Howard Grant in your company. I'm going to take this quick commercial break and be right back after this.
Foundation.
We'll be back right after this.
Come celebrate Independence the BK way with our new Independence King Combo. Enjoy a flame-grilled beef patty topped with savory bacon, arugula, crisp onion rings, and our special tropical sauce on a brioche bun. Served with fries and a drink for a flavor sensation fit to celebrate every year. Top off the Independence celebrations with our new Guava Sundae or frozen guava lemonade. Our Independence King Combo and treats are available for a limited time at Burger King Nassau, where taste is king.
My business couldn't survive without my credit card machine from Fidelity.
It's fast, convenient, and my clients love it.
My sales increase, and I can track my earnings.
Get your credit card machine from Fidelity today.
Call 356-7764. Fidelity.
A lot of folks are wondering, what is the Agrarian Awards? It's an award show to celebrate the people who produce the food that feeds the country. So September 16th, we're giving out trophies and money to young farmers, backyard farmers, sheep runners, goat herders, pea pickers, onion planters, basically everyone. But we couldn't fit all that on the invite, so we put Agrarian Awards instead. Go to adobahamas.org to find out how to nominate your favorite agrarian. The Agrarian Awards, September 16th.
It's back, the 35th annual Jeff Rogers Basketball Camp, July 17th through 28th, inside Kendall Isaacs Gym, 9 a.m. to 1 p.m., for boys and girls 5 through 18. Sign up your child now at South Bahamas Seventh-day Adventist Office, Tony Williams Highway, 9 a.m. to 5 p.m. It's the Jeff Rogers Basketball Camp, July 17th through 28th, at Kendall Isaacs Gym, 9 a.m. to 1 p.m. Special appearances by NBA stars, legends, and coaches. The 35th annual Jeff Rogers Basketball Camp, it's back!
Collect, the Bear of the Bahamas is giving you 5,000 more reasons to be proud to be 50. Just purchase a 3-pack of Collect at participating liquor stores and bars for your chance to be one of our 5 lucky $1,000 winners. Winners will be announced every Friday starting June 9th. Collect's 5K giveaway to celebrate 50 years of independence is officially on. Just purchase 3 Collect for your chance to be one of 5 $1,000 winners. Follow Collect on social media for more details. Collect, the Bear of the Bahamas. Drink responsibly, but...
Foundation. Foundation.
And we are back, ladies and gentlemen, 96.9 FM radio, Howard Grant and your company, The Foundation, on this beautiful Wednesday afternoon. It's a panel discussion. We started off the top of the show with Frankie Wilson, so Frankie Wilson being able to talk to us about some things. Young people is mad triggered out here. You are mad triggered. And, you know, I'm going to tell you this. You are mad triggered. All right? You can't hear the conversation no more based upon who the people are. I don't understand why. That's crazy. It's just like you really triggered. I'm going to read some of these texts, and I don't know where you're coming from, and I'd like you to be able to explain, but I'm going to read the text. And guys, if you want to be able to be a part of that, 323-6232-325-4316, 325-4259, anywhere from the family of islands, toll-free call, 242-300-5720, or you can give me a call, 422-4796. That's a text, 422-4796. So Howard, ask your guest, what's the philosophy of the name PLP? His philosophy, as he introduced the concept, he said that your philosophy should be wrapped in the name. Progressive Liberal Party. All right? He started to talk about the Vanguard Nationalist Socialist Party. And then he asked the question, what is free national movement? The philosophy is not wrapped in the organization. Right? He starts to talk about what is a COI, Coalition of Independence? Where's the philosophy? He starts to talk about a United Bahamian Party. What does that even mean? These are the questions that he has. These are texts coming through, guys. So he says, so Franklin is an excellent guest to give a unique historical perspective. Sorry, I can't hear the full show. I don't know. I guess this person had to go. There's a text that's coming through, right? It says, hey, Howard, the sunshine boy who wants you to believe that they developed their business organically within themselves? Nope. All that came from them being the first big political cronies during the PLP first 15 years in office. The wealth came from Pinewood Gardens that Pinden gave them amongst other lucrative contracts under the Ministry of Works during that time. Yes, you're talking nonsense. This is a text that's coming through. Okay. I won't be decent about how I approach this because it's very important. And I know lots of people are mad sensitive about these things because you have your inclinations, your ideas, your concepts unto yourselves. Some people keep it to themselves in the chest, to their bosoms, and other persons just kind of, vomit it all over the place. I want to talk about this. Now, I don't know whether or not you've ever had aspirations to move towards, whether it be leadership, move towards business. I don't know how you viewed yourself, whether or not you're just a participant in life in terms of being able to get here and work, or whether or not you saw leadership in yourself. I don't know how you see yourself. But for Howard, for me, I need to tell you about me. For me, I understand socially the type of society that exists. And this is after 67. This is well after. So the rhythm of how things were already done was established, whether in law or by an unspoken, unwritten rule, that this is how society will be. We all know, no matter your education, talk to me, somebody say something to me. No matter your education in this country, your proximity to power provides you or offers you an opportunity to be able to climb socially. It's financially, occupationally, and otherwise, politically. The men and women that these persons are telling us about, whether it be C.R. Walker, whether it be Carlton Francis, whether it be A.D. Hanna, who, the men and women of this time, this era, this ilk, have educated themselves and never left the foundation of faith. Russell McDonald yesterday started to tell us about how faith was the cornerstone of every one of their meetings, their concepts, their ideas, how they pursued these things. They always, the forerunner, the banner for these things was faith. Now, social promotion is the order of the day. Now, is it for Howard Grant? I don't want to be your friend and cuddle up and cozy up next to you in this society when you have the proximity to leadership and I can see myself moving towards certain levels of leadership without being able to ask you a question. Maybe that's just a black man in me, but I'm going to ask you, hey, listen, Frankie, I see you doing a great deal of things, man. You think you could help me out? I just want 5 acres to be able to help with this, this, and this. There's only 2 things you could say, yes or no. That's it. And if, I don't know, I'm not saying that this is what happened. I'm saying to you that if the thinking of leadership says, what is the next step? It has to be, you have to ask for an opportunity. You can't be mad at these people for their proximity, for their push, for their exposure and experience, their education, and for what they've done with those things. Now, what I am indifferent with is that the next dispensation, the next generation, the next era of leaders, it seems as though that proverbial gate has been welded shut. Open for one individual, in my view, based upon what I've seen. Now, despite the fact that our former prime minister would have taken on a position and started to speak about the fact that he wants to create 1,000 millionaires in the country, the gate has been welded shut after a certain period in time. Then maybe rust, I don't know what happened. It shake loose. Sabah slipped in there. Talk to me. Somebody say something to me. And then they weld it shut again. Somebody say something to me. Because there are intellectuals here, and you continue to talk about this brain drain that's going all over the world and doing amazing things. Whilst we continue to grapple with concepts of yesteryear and reject the idea of progressive technologies and the ideas of making the sort of modifications to see our society move in a particular direction. You'll get to talk to me. But I'm not here to yell at an individual who identified an opportunity and took full advantage of it based upon his experience and understanding and his relationships. I looking for them same things. Because that's the culture of our society. You fighting people. And I think it's wild. Let me read the next text. This text coming through says, good afternoon. Please ask Sir Wilson. I'm struggling in this economic time to school my daughter in the United States. Who does he feel, I suppose this is how does he feel about the new government bringing back their, quote, people, and there is a lack of opportunities for new young people, I suppose. I tried to piece that together just now. I guess these guys are texting and driving. I don't know. I think all of us feel the same way. But as I grow older, I'm different with it. Can I say that? As I grow older, I feel a little bit different of it because I am getting older. all of us, we are getting older. And the youth and vitality of the sort of a passion that existed before, as time progresses, diminishes, but we still exist. And we still have to take care of our children. We still have to take care of our bills. We still have to take care of our homes. Do we 100% reject the men and women who participated and contributed to national growth and development of yesteryear just to be able to give opportunity to new young people? I don't think so. I think that there can be a mixed bag, a happy medium of growth and development in our communities. I believe that. I believe that there can be opportunities that exist for younger persons and older persons alike. One of the things that is failing, that we don't see anymore, that's being spoke of with this sort of conscious attachment, like it's deliberate. They have to mention this. It feel, based upon the conversation, it feel contractual, like an obligation that they've taken on by themselves to be able to mention the men and women who helped them to get to where they are. Sean McQueenie relentlessly speaks about C.R. Walker, his brilliance, how he was well-learned, and how he pontificated about concepts and ideas for the country and so forth. Craig Flowers continues to be able to talk about the inception for education and his insatiable desire to learn more and expand into all these things from a man that started off in Baintown, a blind man. Frankie Wilson's now telling us about, and it's amazing how they can be able to always identify the names of these people. They ain't forgetting these people. Whether they're dead and gone or whether they're here and unable to participate in the national conversation, these men and women of significant positions nationally, never forget them. My question to you is, where is that mentorship now? My question to you is, have you welded yourself shut, men and women who have ascended in our society? Have you separated and segregated yourself from those young men and women who seek to be able to sit at your feet to learn something? That's all I want to know. Because some things are happening out here. And young people still have desires, but they're looking to people like Les Brown, Steve Harvey, and all these people, books, and these places without faith and without a cultural understanding of who we are in this country. They're looking elsewhere. They're looking abroad. And there is a wealth of knowledge that exists in this space. So maybe it's the fault of all of us. Maybe it's the fault of the older generation who didn't take up the torch of mentorship. And maybe it's the fault of a younger generation who have rejected the idea of anything local and cultural. The lines are open, guys. If you want to be able to be a part of that, please do so. There's a telephone caller. Caller, you on the line with us live. Go ahead.
Hi, how are you?
I'm good. How you doing?
I'm okay. Thank you. Very deep discussion today. You know, Howard, how do I put it? This demand has been set
mm-hmm.
long generations before you young guys
mm-hmm.
were even conceived. Okay, as mm-hmm. far as when you say about the wealth is not so common when you realize it, because it started off with the monopolies on, when you look at our history, people don't like to hear it and people don't like to talk about it, right? But when you look at all of the major businesses in this country, they're on lock. And it's been that way, okay? And when I say on lock, you have the certain, you call them these boys or this businessman and whatever, these companies. Real estate, okay? You have the wholesalers. You have the liquor is more, I guess, flexible, right?
Mm-hmm.
But the major businesses, the banks, the banking system.
Mm-hmm.
And then, like you said, there's going to be time every so often. You have, there's some persons who are fortunate enough to get a little squeeze in there.
Mm-hmm.
You take the businessman, the web shop owner, right? By chance, they were lucky enough to slip in there and get the license to be regulated,
mm-hmm.
to be able to make the millions and billions legally, right? Like you say, who knows when there's going to be another opportunity to do so.
Mm-hmm.
So this itself, and then when you speak about their mentors, yes, they're mentors, you know. And, you know, that's one good thing, I think, about globalization, where as far as our young people and adults, you know, even older folks, are able to educate themselves if they choose to,
mm-hmm.
to look beyond this country.
Mm.
Therefore, in doing so, even returning to the country, returning maybe not in body, but tech-wise, technology-wise,
mm-hmm.
to be able to continue to help build this country. Because I saw a lady on a program earlier today or last night, and she's in the jewelry or the design business, and the work of art that she has done in reference to the 50th anniversary celebration, the creativity,
mm-hmm.
right? That will set a tone for her for the rest of, I guess, as long as she wants business-wise.
Mm-hmm.
So we have to be more creative. But when you look, and I feel so sorry, I feel bad for our people, especially younger people, because a lot of them do go and get the education, right?
Mm-hmm.
And they don't want to come back because they don't feel as if there's anything for them to come back to.
Mm-hmm.
You say we have resources, the natural resources. But it seems that the persons who have the connection, these persons who have these establishments, you have the Sunshine Boys, you have these persons, but who are they really mentoring?
Mm-hmm.
Their children.
Mm-hmm.
Okay?
Mm-hmm.
And a lot of people, a lot of business persons, business establishments, Bahamian business establishments, do it all around the world. But they make sure mentor, they groom, they educate their children to remain in the business and grow the business. So it's really, really hard for the average person to go out there, educate themselves, learn, find a niche that they can hold on to and run with. But then sometimes you have the big massive establishment, they see that, oh, they like that idea. And sometimes they will go and they'll buy you out because they like your idea. They'll buy your idea. Sometimes you heard a lot of Bahamians speak about how, I'm sure you heard in your show, how they had this idea, they took it to...
And somebody thief it.
The idea was stolen.
Yeah.
You understand?
Yeah.
So therefore, we have to, it's up to you all now, the younger generation, to really, you know, continue to fight, continue to find niches where you can go in, force your way in, do things so that you can one day to, you know, become a billionaire, But it's hard. It's really, really hard because from way back then, the fix was in. So we have to look, you know, futuristically as to how we go forward. But if I don't get to speak to you, Howard, again, happy independence to you and your family.
Thank you, my dear. I appreciate your telephone call. Thanks so much. I think we got to put a jackhammer to that philosophical concept of separation, as you spoke to the fact that it has been set, the seamen has been set. It's perceived that the seamen may be set in the tangibles, but where it is set is in the intangibles, in our minds. We got to put a jackhammer to that. And so it's going to be with constant, this sort of agitation and being able to bring it to the forefront, to shake the ground that it sits on, to be able to make some things happen. Next telephone call. Caller, you on the line with us live. Go ahead. Caller, you on the line with us live.
Hello.
Hey, how you doing?
Hey, pleasant. Good afternoon. How you doing, Howard?
All is well, man. What's up, Anton?
Everything's cool, man. Sorry I missed the conversation with Sir Franklin Wilson. I'm certain that it was a very interesting, informative, and foundational-based one.
Absolutely.
Based upon where he's come from and what he was able to accomplish, et cetera. I want to echo something that you said, but I want to expand on something else.
Go ahead. I can hear you. Go ahead.
have nots in the country is, and I've used a local thing. We have this black crab syndrome. Howard?
Yeah, I can hear you. Anton, you're breaking up. I know what happened. Anton, call back for me, my brother, before we get out of here. We get 7 minutes, 6 minutes before we get out. Give me a call back. I couldn't hear you. I don't know if you got me on the speaker in the truck or in your car. Is this you? Go ahead. Go ahead, Anton.
Yeah, you can hear me?
I can hear you better now. Go ahead.
Good. I was saying to you, a part of the big problem that we have in the country, on two points, one of 2 points, is we have a feeling that we try to create for each other. We say that we want opportunities to flow. When some opportunities start to flow for others of us, we have this local saying called the black crab syndrome that kicks in a very bad way in our country. I think that's one of the big problems we have. We have a challenge seeing each other rise to successful levels in the country, right? And the second, can you hear me, Howard?
I can hear you. Go ahead.
And the second point that I want to make is, and I agree with Ms. Mortimer said, right, in terms of opportunities being locked in, and that's a fact. That's the fact that goes back 40, 50 years in our country. However, Howard, there are many other opportunities that can be unlocked in our country for Bohemians to realize wealth in our country. It's been a very long time, Howard, since we've had a government that has focused on wealth creation and wealth generation, creating those opportunities for Bohemians not only to rise to middle-class status in our country, but to rise beyond middle-class status, to upper-middle-class status, and to wealthy status in our country. And I believe that the government that I support, the Prime Minister that I support, Howard, I believe that he has the plan for it, and I'm looking forward to him bringing that plan to fruition even more forcefully so that we can change the dynamics in our country. Can you hear me, Howard?
Yeah, my brother.
I'll end on this note, Howard. I believe, Howard, that we need to focus on getting that square deal in this country. We need not just to focus on political majority rule, but we need to focus now on economic majority rule. And I heard the Deputy Prime Minister, Minister of Investments, during his wrap-up speech in the fiscal 2023-24 debate, speak to this idea of looking to create a new generation of multi-bohemian millionaires in this country, and I'm just looking forward to it being realized. Thank you for the opportunity. God bless. I'm sorry I missed that conversation again, but hopefully I'll catch you on the rebound.
Thank you, my brother. Appreciate you. GuardianTalkRadio.com. GuardianTalkRadio.com. You can be able to pick that up tomorrow on Spotify and talk about those things. I had some stuff I wanted to kind of say, and hopefully that would lead me out, but I see the next telephone call coming through. Caller, you're on the line with us live. Go ahead. You got 30 seconds.
Hi, good afternoon, Howard.
Hey, how you doing?
Fine, thank you, buddy. My rock family.
That's absolutely.
As an extension to what Pat was saying, right?
Yeah.
How can a 26-year-old Canadian come to the Bahamas hoping to get a job as a restaurant server and end up being the restaurant manager at the Swimming Peak at Bahama?
Mm-hmm.
You know, 26-year-old, you know?
Mm-hmm.
It's not a specialty restaurant. So when are Bahamians really going to get the opportunity?
Wow.
So that Bahamians can actually do many of these jobs, and they keep concentrating on all the Haitians taking the job. But, you know, there are other jobs that actually go unnoticed. You know, so that's a question for the Minister, Keith Bell.
I appreciate you.
A 26-year-old at the restaurant in the Bahamas, that's an insult. And, you know, that's something the guidance should follow up on.
I appreciate you, my brother.
Right,
we got to look into that. I appreciate the telephone call. We got the next one, 30 seconds. You got a call? Call you on the line with us live. You got 30 seconds. Go ahead.
Good afternoon, Howard.
Hey, my brother. What's happening?
Yeah, I chime in. I was listening, but I chime in. I've never heard such BS in my life.
Mm-hmm.
Firstly, the government can't create no millionaires, man, okay?
Mm-hmm.
50 years of nothingness. And, I agree with the last caller, but, you know, the government has abandoned us. It's clear. Just like the 12 o'clock sun right now, Howard. Have a good day.
I appreciate you, my brother. Thank you so very kindly. That's quick. I appreciate that. Now, listen, I want to talk about these things. I want to talk about the one constant that I've heard that separates this generation from the former. And the constant was a pursuit for national development, and our current position is the pursuit of finances. That's just what it is. people get jobs and commit themselves and work to be able to get themselves through school with the hopes and expectation, aspirations to be able to do what? Make money and live in a particular lifestyle. That didn't happen in the 60s and the 50s and others in other spaces. They knew that their participation towards a greater good. They had to do something bigger than them. That doesn't happen now. People get in where they fit in and they make modifications when the money look good. Things are changing, ladies and gentlemen. Things are changing. And the only thing that can be able to keep any of us constant and committed is the convictions that we carry. Whether that be faith, whether that be nationalistic, whether that be family-oriented, whatever the convictions are, is the constant that we will see in this life. And so the only questions I have, where do your convictions lie? This is the road to 50, baby. We're talking deep and hoping that we could see a better course over the next 50. Ladies and gentlemen, tomorrow is Small Business Thursdays. If you want to be able to participate in that, we got Arawak X being able to come in. So I'm excited about that. Please give us a call. 8270111, 8270111. We're diving deeper into this. On Friday, we get Sean McQueenie to wrap this thing up and diving into it. I thank you so very kindly, ladies and gentlemen. You have a beautiful day. We'll continue to be able to do all we can to contribute to national growth and development here on the foundation. You see tomorrow, God spare. Stick and stay for Chivago with Z Live after this.
The foundation. The foundation. The foundation.
Introducing Wendy's new chimichurri cheeseburger.
Chimichurri.
That's how you pronounce it. Let it roll off your tongue. Then get ready for some ridiculously good flavor. Fresh, herby, garlicky, green, chimichurri. It'll feel like a relaxing backyard get-together with friends on a Sunday.
Put in a burger.
Come meet Wendy's new chimichurri cheeseburger with our new Dave's Craft Lemonade. Wendy's different inside and out.
At Ron's Electric Motors, they repair and rewind all major brands of electric motors, including water pumps, generators and generators back end, welding machines, electric lifts, air compressors, battery chargers, and more. They're equipped to handle up to 850 kilowatts and rewind up to 450 horsepower motors. They're conveniently located on the corner of Wolf and Clarence Roads and are open weekdays 8 a.m. to 5 p.m., Saturdays till noon. They offer 24 hours emergency assistance. You can reach them at 242-356-0249.
Let me ask you a few questions. What's your name?
Pam.
Favorite food?
Steak.
Beer or wine?
Wine.
Is your money safe?
It's under my bed, I guess so.
Are you serious?
Yeah, why?
Unless your money is in a bank or credit union that's a member of the Deposit Insurance Corporation, there's no guarantee it's safe.
Yeah, but what if something happens to the bank?
Your Bahamian dollar deposits are insured up to $50,000, so you'd still be ahead. Plus, your mattress might catch fire. Then what?
Man, those banks and credit unions are looking good right about now.
Visit the DIC's website at www.dic.bs. Protection for your money, guaranteed with DIC.
The Bahamas Public Parks and Public Beaches Authority invites all private companies and civic organizations to adopt a roundabout. This is your chance to stand out from the crowd. Beautify and enhance our local areas for residents and tourists alike. Just in time for the 50th anniversary of our independence. With this opportunity, you can engage persons on the go, generate media interest, and promote your company. Stand out and celebrate 50. For more information, you can call 242-604-3750.
This is Guardian Radio, 96.9 FM. Fresh news, smart talk, all day. This is Guardian Radio, 96.9 FM, Nassau, Bahamas.